Hey, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3, so you go to the front of your Bible. This should be the easiest passage to find, right? Go right to the front of your Bible, Genesis chapter 3. We've been in a series of John, and so we're just going to pause on John until we get into January, and then we'll pick that back up because we got the woman at the well will be our next chapter 4, so I want to hit that. And as we go into 2026, can you believe it? So that's not that far away. So we're going to pause on that. We're going to look at Advent. Advent is kind of a little bit synonymous with Christmas, but I like the term Advent a little bit better because it's more of kind of technically begins now and goes through the end of what we call Christmas. Advent means what? Coming, all right? And so it focuses on that first part that Jesus came, right? God sent his son into the earth as a babe. So Advent celebrates Jesus coming to earth, right? But Advent also carries that other second coming, right? When he's going to come again for his church, right? And we will be forever with him. And so when you use that term Advent, we're looking at his first Advent, but also looking forward to the second Advent when he will come again for his church. All right. So I like that term Advent. When with Advent and Christmas come many traditions that have evolved over the years, right? Christmas tree, lights, gifts, nativities, ethnic foods. What's your favorite ethnic food?
Tamales.
Tamales, that's Christmas? It is, okay. All right, so they serve tamales at Christmas. Okay, all right, I didn't know that. All right, what else? Lasagna, that's your Christmas food? Cake? What'd you say, Sam? Ham, all right. I mean, well, you got oyster stew. That was what we did on Christmas Eve, Karen. We did oyster stew, the oysters in there. I haven't done that for a while. I may have to break that out again. There's the eggnog, right? Oh, yulekake. How many have had yulekake? Oh, so we need some Norwegians here, some North Dakotans, right? Get some yulekake, right? We're going to have to make yulekake, Amy. It's Christmas bread. Yeah, so it's kind of that flat, round loaf of bread, and there's kind of like icing on top, and there is some of that Christmas fruit in it, you know, but it's not fruitcake, okay? No, yulekake is good. Yeah. Oh, well, maybe we'll have to make some. Oh, and then there's lefse, yeah. How many have had lefse? That's Norwegian too. It's like potatoes, and they're mashed up, okay, and then you roll them out like a tortilla, all right, and you put them on this big round grill, flip them, right, and then you put sugar and butter on them, and ooh, it's good. Something like that, but they're really thin. Lefse. All right. So I do have German in me, but I also, my mom was that Norwegian, and growing up in North Dakota, you also have those Norwegian things, yeah, Scandinavian things. So, all right. Never got into the lutefisk, though, so the good thing on that. All right. Well, so you have these Christmas traditions. Some of them are good. Some of them, you know, Christmas kind of evolved, and the church, I think, tried to make this winter celebration to spiritualize it and to celebrate the birth of Jesus, okay? That's the truth about it, okay? So some of the things like Christmas trees, poinsettias, some of it is good, some of it is okay. I think there's good from all of it, the gifts and all that, but there's also a very secular side of it, right? And so sometimes in the midst of that, we can lose sight of what Christmas is all about. And I think we have to work to make Christ the center of this time and to really focus on what God did for us. So I'm titling this Advent series called Good News. How many like good news? All right. And it seems like our world is focused on what? Bad news, right? You turn on the news and every once in a while at the end they tag on a little good news, right? And but often we have bad news. So Dan, come on up. And I'm just going to interview him quickly here. So he shared here on our Wednesday night, something happened. What happened, Dan, that wasn't so good?
Somebody came in to rent a piece of equipment from us for 4 hours, and it never came back for a long time.
Yeah, and this was a new piece of equipment?
Brand new. I haven't even paid for it.
Worth a lot of money.
Worth a lot of money, yeah.
And it never showed up.
Never showed up.
And that was how many weeks ago?
Yeah, it was November 3rd.
And then the police got involved after 10 days, still nothing?
Yeah, after 10 days, the police got involved. There was a warrant out for his arrest, all that kind of stuff.
So Saturday morning, you got up as usual?
Yeah, that's right, Saturday morning.
Went to the store?
Went to the store at 5 o'clock in the morning, and my ritual is to drive around the store and look at the facility to make sure that everything looks like it's in place. And as I drove by, I'm looking at the building, and I look, and I glance, and I turn back on the road, and in my head, I'm like, wait a minute, the lift is sitting over there. And so sitting in my parking lot, the piece that had disappeared was randomly sitting in the middle of my parking lot yesterday morning.
Amen. So that was good news.
Yeah, that was great news.
That was great news. So.
Answered prayer.
Answered a prayer.
From many different people.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And we need that good news. I mean, it was just weighing heavy on him, and I was just trusting that God would do that. So, but we need good news every once in a while, don't we? We need good news. And so we're going to look at some good news today. Now, do you like the bad news first or the good news first? Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to hit the bad news first, and then we're going to hit the good news. Is that okay? All right. You like the good with the bad? All right. We're going to do bad news first and good news. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read this together, and then we're going to bring some points out of it. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is able to lead, direct us, guide us in the way of life, and to know you better. And we just pray, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and make it come alive to us in this time that we have. And we ask it in your name. Everybody said? Amen. So we're just going to kind of walk through Genesis 3, 1 through 24, and then we're going to bring out some points here. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than the wild animals the Lord God had made. Say crafty. And that means shrewd or deceptive. And so that is one thing that you need to understand, that when Satan comes and works in your life, whether it's temptation or lies, he is crafty and deceptive, all right? And yes, and so do not believe a word he says, all right? He is full of half-truths, all right? And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You notice how he's twisting things, right? Deceptive. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you'll die. Verse 4, you won't certainly die, right? Hear the sarcasm there? The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan is keeping you from something good, right? He wants to keep something good from you. And so Satan twists. Did the people die? Did Adam and Eve die? Yes and no. Physically, did they die? Spiritually, did they die? Absolutely. Absolutely. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, there's the process of temptation right there. It goes very good with James. We're led astray, right? And also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. Wow, it felt good. I bet it tasted good. Of course, it was an apple, right? We don't know. But it was always portrayed as an apple, but we don't know what it was, right? Verse 7. And when the eyes of both of them were opened, they realized, so they did get this knowledge of good and evil. Their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked. It hadn't crossed their mind before. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Why? Because of their shame. They knew that they had done wrong, and now they're using fig leaves to cover their shame. What do you use to cover the shame in your life? What are the fig leaves you sew together to cover up the shame that you sometimes feel? Verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. Just think how things have changed. Just by that one transgression, they used to walk with God in the cool of the day. Now they are hiding from the Lord as God walked among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man and says, "Where are you?" I think God knew all along, right? Hide and seek. First episode of hide and seek. And he answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Verse 11, and he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said to the man said, "The woman you put here with me," you notice how we like to blame people, "she gave me some fruit to eat and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life." And you may think, why in the world are we reading this passage for Christmas and Advent? It's right here. "And I'll put enmity between hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." We'll come back to that. Verse 16, the woman said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children." Just think about having kids and no pain. Wow. "And your desire will be for your husband. He will rule over you." And to Adam, he says, "Because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat the food from it in all the days of your life. It'll produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." And Adam named his wife Eve, "Mother of the living," and should become mother of all the living. Verse 21, "The Lord made garments of skin for Adam and Eve and clothed them." And this is the first example of sacrifice to deal with sin, to cover, make atonement. So you've heard of that word atonement, right? Atonement literally means to cover over, okay? And so this is the first example where we see where sacrifice, blood sacrifice, is used to cover over sin, right? And so it provided clothing for Adam and Eve for their shame, for their nakedness. It's interesting to see how that develops for the Old Testament and then into the New Testament where Jesus would die on the cross for us. Verse 22, "And the Lord God said, 'The man now will become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat it and live forever.' And so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden a cherubim, with a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." Wow. So what do we learn? One of the things I want to kind of go, the curse, right? Curse, because of that, there's birth and childbirth, there's suffering, there's toil. We work the ground, there's weeds, right? You know, it's amazing. You plant a garden and you try to get the good stuff to grow, but the weeds come up, right? Right? They just come up without any effort. And so that's part of the curse. So pain, suffering, toil, sickness, hostility, all entered into our world due to the curse, right? And sometimes God gets the blame for this, right? We go through life, we're serving God, and all of a sudden sickness or tragedy comes in, and we blame God. You say, "God, why did you allow that to happen?" Well, it's not, God's not the author of it. It is part of the curse being in our world, okay? And so God comes into the midst of that and to roll that back. So we'll talk more about that, all right? Because of their sin, Adam and Eve are banished from the Garden of Eden. No more beautiful garden, no more having fellowship with God and walking with him. There's distance, there's a divide. They are not reconciled with God, they are distant from God. right? And so what does all this have to do with Advent? So let's look at these here. First of all, let's go with the bad news. Bad news is that we've all sinned, right? Adam and Eve sinned, and that opened the door that all humanity, when we enter into this world, we enter as sinners. Is that fair? I don't know. It's the way it is. Is there proof of that? Yeah, there is. If you have a child, right? Even as a young infant, it doesn't take them very long before you tell them no, and they do what? They do the opposite, right? It's ingrained in them, right? And even in you as adults, right, you've learned to moderate it, but there's something in you that says, you know what, I didn't want to do that, but now that you tell me I can't do it, I want to do it, right? We've all sinned. Even when we want to do right, sin is at work within us. So this is what Paul says, Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's different words used for sin. It can be a transgression. It can be disobedience. And in this situation, that falling short's an archery term that you've missed the target, okay? You've missed the bullseye. You've fallen short of what God had planned for us. We've all sinned, and we've fallen short. Paul says it this way again in Romans 7:14-20. We know that the law is spiritual, so God's word is pure. It's holy. But I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. Right? Does that describe you today, this week, this year, this month? I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. What I hate to do, that I do. Verse 16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. And so there's different words for that. We've tried to explain it. I like the term sinful nature, that we're all born with a sinful nature. In other words, ingrained within us is that tendency to want to disobey God and his word. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Right? That describes the human condition. Verse 19, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Verse 20, now if I do what I do not want to do, boy, you really have to be good at your, reading this, all right? It is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So Paul isn't saying, hey, you know, the devil made me do it. He's just saying, hey, there's something at work within me, within all of us. There's that sinful nature that has to be addressed. And even there's a lot of good people out there. Do you know some good people? I know some good people. Some of them I know Jesus, and there's some of them that don't know Jesus. There's good people out there, but the thing is, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's grace. We've all sinned. And we can compare ourselves with other people. How do we morally stack up in comparison to others? Maybe you're pretty good. But here's the deal. Good isn't good enough. God's called us to be perfect, to be righteous, to be holy as he is. We've all sinned, and we all stand in need of redemption. And you cannot be saved, I believe, until you come to that place you realize, you know what, I've sinned, I've disobeyed God, and I'm a sinner. Because until you come to that place, you think that you're good enough or that I'm a good person, you don't need to be saved, right? It's only when we come to that realization that we can ask Christ into our life. Well, I got more bad news. Number two, we've all lost paradise. So not only had Adam and Eve sinned, but they got kicked out of paradise. They got kicked out of this beautiful garden. No more could they walk with God in the cool of the day. No more would their life be free of pain, suffering, toil, fear, and shame. You can just think Adam out there working his field, taking care of the weeds and the rocks, and he's just like, "Urgh." You think he had regrets? I think he did. Sweat running down his forehead. Eve gets pregnant, yoo-hoo! And then all of a sudden the birth comes and it's going, wow, what's this all about, right? And she didn't have anybody to prepare her for it, right? kind of like, what in the world is this all about? It's painful, right? Their life had changed. They had lost the beautiful paradise that was theirs that God had for them. So not only do we as human beings live in a fallen state, we also live in a fallen world, right? This is what Paul says again in Romans, kind of dovetails with all this. Romans 8, 22 through 23. For we know that all creation has been growing as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So not only are we feel the weight of the curse, but I believe our creation and our world does. Verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who are the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sonship, for the redemption of our bodies. When tragedy and hardship comes our way, terminal illness, accidents, you know, this week we heard of this young lady serving as National Guard, serving our country, her life was taken. I don't think she deserved it, right? Seems pretty tragic. We can point fingers, but all of it comes back to that we live in a fallen world where there is sin, there's hatred, there's division. And all that's going to be until Jesus comes and redeems our world, right? We can blame God. He has big shoulders, but I think we have to understand that we live under a curse where there's pain, there's suffering, death, sickness, toilsome work, absence of peace. There's things that happen in our world that are not fair, but it's because we live under a curse. We're not living in paradise. We're living in a fallen world. That's bad news. It's kind of like, Pastor, you maybe came to get pumped up here today, right? I'm not doing a very good job. But I do have some good news. You ready for some good news? All right, let's go to point number three. The good news. God has a plan to redeem us. And that's what verse 15 is all about. So go back there if you're not there. Verse 15, he says, you may think, well, what does this have to do with Christmas? But I'll put hostility, enmity. Okay, you don't probably use that word enmity a lot. But hostility between you and the woman. Who's you and the woman? Between Eve's offspring. There's going to be somebody in Eve's offspring and Satan. All right? And there's going to be hostility there. And he, who's he? We know now it's Jesus, right? He's going to crush the serpent's head. You ever crushed a snake's head? We don't want the graphic details. But usually they don't recover from that, right? Use your cane. Wow. Okay. And in the Hebrew, it means it's a mortal wound. Okay? The snake is not going to recover. His head is crushed. He's done. He's finished. He's done. It's terminal. But he will strike your heel. In other words, Satan is going to strike the heel of this Eve's offspring, who we now know as Jesus. Now, that refers to a wound, but it's one that you can recover from. And so we now know that that is a reference to the what? The cross, right? And so when Jesus died on the cross, it seemed mortal, it seemed fail. You know, it seemed like he was done, but then he was resurrected and he came back from the dead. He survived that through the power of God. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to see how God then begins to unpack this more. We learn more about God's plan to redeem our fallen world, to deal with our sin, with death, and with the curse. But we see right there that God had a plan to deal with our sin, to deal with death, to deal with the curse. Why? Because he loved you and me so much that even in these beginning stages, he put a plan in place. The minute sin takes place, God has a plan to deal with it. This is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, 13 through 14. He says, Christ redeemed us from the curse, there's that word curse, of the law, by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. So Jesus died on a cross, right? And it was anybody that died on the cross was seen as cursed, that they had sinned, and they were dying for their sin. Jesus was spotless. He was sinless. And so when he went to the cross, he wasn't up there for his own sin, but for my sin and for your sin. He took the curse upon himself. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we may receive the promise of the Spirit. Here's the cool thing. So when Jesus walked the earth, right, he began to roll back the curse. And how did he do that? Somebody was lame and crippled. He says, rise up and walk. Person that was blind and couldn't see, now they were able to see. Right? The demon-possessed that was tormented, God set them free. The dead were raised to life. And so we get a picture of what heaven will be like. And he began to roll back and give us a peek. Woo! That's what heaven is going to be like. There's not going to be any more sickness. There's not going to be any disease. There's not going to be any more death. There will be no more tears. So that's what Revelation 21, if you want to, we go from Genesis to 21. Isn't that cool? We go from Genesis all the way to Revelation, beginning to end. Revelation 21, 1 through 4 says that John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city in the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice, a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among the people and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people and God himself will be with them and their God. Verse 4. And he will what? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. For there will be no more what? Death. No more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. For the old order of things have passed away. The curse is done. It's dealt with. It is then that our salvation will be complete and paradise will be restored. Now often we use, are you saved, right? Right? We use that terminology. Yes, I'm saved. Well, if you want to be technically correct, which in this case we're going to, you are being saved, okay? Right? Because it's not until you step foot into heaven that technically you are saved from the punishment of your sin that was due you, that Christ took upon himself. When we take that first step into heaven, woo, that is when our salvation will be complete, right? And so when you're looking at it, you are in the process of being saved each and every day. And one day, it is going to be complete when we step into heaven. I'm going to have the musicians come. The bad news, we've all sinned and we've all lost paradise. It's not good news. But the good news is that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, right? And God put a plan in a place to deal with our sin, to deal with death, to deal with our shame, right? In a hopeless situation, God extended to us hope, grace, and love. Amen? That's good news. That's good news. Especially when you realize that we all are in a situation that we can't redeem ourselves from. There's nothing that you and I can do to save ourselves. We can be as good a person as we can try and be. But Paul tried that. Paul was a pretty religious person before he came to know Christ. But even he recognizes that there was sin at work in his life. Laws just make, I think sometimes laws can just really make our sinful nature come even more alive. But there's nothing you can do to save yourselves. It's only by the grace of God when we come to him and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need your grace. I need your mercy. Come and save me by faith. God says, whoosh. He extends to us his righteousness. He forgives us of all of our sin. It's pretty cool. That's good news. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Lead us in a prayer of salvation, whether you're listening online or here today. If that's you, that today is your day, this is good news. So we're all going to join together, and especially if you don't know where you stand with God, you don't have the hope of heaven in your heart, Scripture is very clear that we can know and that we can be saved. And so let's pray together. Say, God, come into my heart and my life. Forgive me of all my sin. For all the times where I've wanted to go my own way. Be my Lord and my Savior. And walk with me each day of my life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Can we end this time just with this chorus? It's maybe a new one for some of you. Maybe you've heard it on the radio. But it just says, you know, Christ be magnified. Can we just take a few moments just to worship him and magnify him this morning? Lord, that's our prayer this morning. We thank you that you so loved us, that you put a plan in place to redeem us, to reconcile our relationship with you. And Lord God, you call us to worship you with our life, with our words, all that we do. That is our spiritual act of worship, to live each day knowing that God loves us. He sent his son to us. That is good news. Yes, I have sinned. Yes, I've fallen short of God's grace and mercy. Yes, I do live in a fallen world. But the good news is that God had a solution. He had a plan. And so there's hope. There's grace. There's mercy. And so, Lord God, we thank you for that. Lord God, as we go through this week and through this Advent time, may we magnify you. And I know it's a busy time, but Lord, may we take time each and every day just to carve out some time to really spend time with you and to reflect upon what it means that God sent his son to us. How is that changing my life? How is it changing that I live today, this minute, this time? How is it making a difference in my life? And am I giving God praise? Am I living my life in such a way that it magnifies him and brings him glory and honor? Whether it's the words I speak, the actions I carry out, the thoughts I think, the attitudes I wear, God, may all that we do bring you glory and praise. We give you the thanks. Go with us this week. Lord God, let us come back with some good news. Amen. We give you the thanks and the praise. We ask it in your name, and everybody said, amen. Hey, God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you leave.